Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We are in Luke 15 this morning. In the third of a sermon series of what we're calling Lost and Found. Lost and Found. And, you know, we need to love the things that God loves. Our hearts ought to beat for the same thing that God's great big heart beats for. And I sent out a one call now for us this week, and it is so good to see you all. I think I mentioned something about coming home. Aren't you glad to be home today? Isn't it glad to be out and about? I think some of you would rather just be stuck underground by that comment, by that response. I'm thankful to see you all today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people. But we want to get to this, this wonderful dramatic passage of Scripture in Luke 15 this morning. This is the third in a series of things that are lost. And there were, in this particular parable, remember Jesus' audience. He's speaking to whom? Jews, Jewish people, men, probably some women in the crowd, maybe even a few children. But he's speaking to Jewish people, and this is a dramatic piece of Scripture. It's what we call a parable. It's a great drama. And you know, 2 weeks ago we looked at the lost sheep. Y'all remember that? And then last week we looked at the lost coin. Well, this morning we're going to look at the lost son. The lost son. Now, some of you may know this as the prodigal son, and that's okay. But this is a powerful parable, a powerful passage of Scripture. The reason it's so special to me is I was saved under the preaching of this passage of Scripture as a 9-year-old boy. I was that prodigal son. I was that lost son. And God used this powerful story to change my life. I'm so grateful for it. And you know, this parable, this passage of Scripture, Billy, I don't know if you're in the movie-making business, but this would be a great movie. It's got great setting. Plot, climax. I mean, it's got all the stuff. This is an amazing drama, an amazing story. Are y'all ready to get into it? I've been in it all week and couldn't wait to let it get out. So we'll kind of read the Scripture as we roll through here, but there's four movements in this dramatic passage of Scripture. And the first movement we see is that of rebellion. This lost son, this young son, has rebellion in his heart. Let's look at it. Verse 11, Luke 15. Then he said, that's Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he, the father, divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or wasteful living. Now, we see a very insensitive request that reveals the rebellion in this young son's heart. He asked his father to give him his inheritance. Now, for a boy in that day to go to his father, who is still alive, and asked for his inheritance, even though his father is not dead yet, is the equivalent of him telling his father, I wished you were dead. Let that sink in. That's what's going on in this passage. Very insensitive request. He says, I want what's mine. You see, what's going on in this young son's heart is, he wanted to live out from under the authority of his father. He wanted to be independent. of anyone that's telling him what to do, where to go, or what to say. He didn't want any of that. And I guess he really didn't have an appreciation for all that the Father had done for him. He didn't quite understand that all of the provision and protection that his Father had provided for him. He just wants to be out from under his Father's rule and roof. Are you with me so far? What a rebel. And by the way, did you notice what he said in this insensitive request? He says, give me mine. Give me, give me, give me. Isn't that the shape the world's in today? I mean, isn't that exactly where we are, especially as a nation? I want mine and I want it right now. Give it to me now, no matter what. I want to tell you what, that's a terrible way to live a life. It's an awful way to live a life. Everybody wants to have it their way today. But I want to tell you, there is a Heavenly Father who cares infinitely more about your well-being and mine than we do ourselves. And by the way, our Heavenly Father is able to govern and guide our lives so that they are more efficient and more effective for His honor and glory. And so what an insensitive request. But here's the deal. Y'all, the emphasis in this passage of Scripture is not on the young son. It's on the Father. It's on the Father. And look at this incredible, did you catch that incredible response of the Father? I mean, now, in this part of the world, a son that asked his father for his inheritance in this setting could be severely punished. And so again, the response of this father just tells you how great this father really is. And this father responds incredibly. And really what Jesus is wanting the audience there that day to realize just how wonderful that father was. But today, hello, Jesus wants us to understand how awesome our Heavenly Father is. That's the bigger issue here. And by the way, our Heavenly Father will let us go if we want to go. He'll allow us to leave Him. He'll allow us to run. I can't wait to hear Billy's lesson this morning in the book of Jonah. He'll let us fail. He'll let us rebel. He'll let us do what we've determined to do. You see, you've got a free will. I don't care what the Calvinists will tell you. You've got a free will. You can do what you want to do. God has made it that way because God knows real love is chosen love. And so He'll allow that. And this boy evidently liquidated all of his father's resources and walked away from his father in his father's house. And I would just imagine in my mind's eye, that father watches that boy go down the walk, out the gate, and down the road. Do you see him standing there? Tears streaming down his eyes. Down his face. And by the way, the second movement in this passage, rebellion always leads to revelry. Rebellion always leads to revelry. Now look at this with me. Look at verse 14. Well, before we get there, let me kind of just back up and kind of unpack verse 13. This young son went out into the world, verse 13 tells us. He went to the far country. In other words, this is the Lord's way of telling His crowd that day, He got as far away from the Father's house as He could go. And you know, there's a lot of young people today that think, man, if I could just get away from mom and dad, I thought I'd get an amen there somewhere. That things would be much better, you know, if I could just get out from under mama and daddy. I really don't know why, but all of us think this from time to time. The grass is going to be greener on the other side. Y'all have heard me say it before. If you wind up on the other side and the grass is greener, that grass is probably sitting on top of a septic tank. That's where the other side will take you. So this boy winds up going to the far country. He runs off to the bright lights of the far country. And you may be wondering, how far away is the far country? One step of disobedience. One step of disobedience. It's anywhere that a soul goes that's away from God. I want to tell you, I've been to the far country, and many of you are here today, and you'd say, amen, I have too. And Jesus said that this boy wasted his father's hard-earned income. Wasteful living, riotous living, whatever your translation says, prodigal living. This boy got to the far country and saw the bright lights, and I mean, he wanted what he wanted right now. And this boy's motto was, I don't want just one of anything, I'll take two. And the party was on. Probably rented the penthouse suite. And I mean, it was party time 24/7. And he was enjoying anything and everything that he could get his hands on. He was going to see everything, try everything, do everything that he'd always wanted to do. His motto was, if it feels good. And so his days and nights were filled with partying. He had money to burn. And there's also something very tragic about that kind of living, isn't it? And the picture really that Jesus is painting here is that of a threshing floor. And they would winnow grain in this type of way. They would get down in the threshing floor, and then they would throw the grain up, and the chaff would separate from the grain. The grain would fall to the floor, to the threshing floor, and the chaff would be blown away by the wind. This boy was blowing it in wasted living. Oh, yeah. He was enjoying life. But did y'all know sin is fun for a season? That's what the Bible says. But I want to tell you, you reap what you sow. And whatever you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap. And when the chickens come home to roost, it's tough days. And that's what happened. Look at verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Y'all say this with me. Waste leads to want. Waste leads to want. That's a truth in this passage of Scripture that you can take to the bank. Waste always leads to want. Verse 15, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This boy's pockets are now empty. Waste always leads to want. Eventually, things begin to catch up with you, right? And he goes down to the bank, only to find out that he's got four or five checks that have bounced. There's no money in the bank account. All of his credit cards are maxed out. He's in trouble financially. I mean, the 3 months in arrears on his penthouse rent. He's in trouble. Waste always leads to want. I don't know who came up with this, but I heard it years ago in a song the cathedrals used to sing. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you far more than you ever want to pay. There is a high price to pay for sinful living. And that's what this boy is enjoying right now. Now picture this. He goes down to, hey man, he's hungry. He figured, I better get a job. He goes down to the unemployment line, can't get a job. Goes to the soup line, and they give him a little teacup of soup, and he walks away from the soup line, and he's hungry. He's in need. And by the way, poverty of the soul leads to famine, and a famine, y'all, that's good preaching. Come on. Famine is in the land now. And he can't find any fulfillment, any satisfaction in anything or anywhere. And he finds this man, this scripture brings up this man of means in this parable, in this drama. And this guy's got a little something. He's got possessions and he's got some wealth and he's got some stuff. And when nobody else has anything. And so guess what the lost son does? He kind of attaches himself to this fellow like glue. And then this man tells the lost son, "You see that field down there? I've got some pigs down there and they need to be fed." And when Jesus said that to that crowd of Jews, they began to gag because they wouldn't touch a pig with a 10-foot pole. That was the worst place and the worst thing that could happen to a Jewish man. And so this young boy goes down there to the hog pen and he's slopping the hogs. And even the pods, the pieces of grain, the corn that the pigs look good to him. Do you see him there? Nasty, filthy, dirty, hungry to the point of starving, all by himself, all alone, and he's staring into the face of a hog. Now, if you want to know how ugly a hog is, Bobby Smith can tell you. He's got several of them. But isn't that where waste leads? It leads to want. Sin in our lives will eventually take us to the slop, the slime, and the stench of this old world. Rebellion leads to revelry. But then, there's another transition in this passage of Scripture, in this drama, in this parable, and it's fantastic. Take a look at it with me. Verse 17. "But when he came to himself," but when he came to himself, that's significant, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And here I am, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, make me like one of your hired servants.'" And this old boy down in the hog pen begins to think, "You know what? My father's hired servants, my father's employees have it better than I do. They've got more than enough bread to eat." And his mind goes back to his father's table and how his father had always loved him and been compassionate with him and provided for him and protected him. He's remembering the Father's goodness. Are y'all with me so far? You know where we're going with this? He says to himself, "Well, you know what? I'll just arise and go back to my Father's house." And he's got a repentant spirit because he has this attitude there in verse, let's see here. Yeah, verse 19. He says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." This is repentance. That's what this is. And, you know, he left home saying, "Gimme, gimme, gimme." And now he comes back home saying, "Make me, make me, make me like one of your hired servants." And he rehearses this speech that he's going to give to his dad. He's thinking, "Dad, I have made a mess of my life. I was wrong. You're right. I've sinned against God in heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be one of your sons. Just make me like one of your employees, your hired servant." You know what? I like that, those two words, "make me." I like it. Here's why. If you'll give yourself to our Heavenly Father today, you will be amazed at what God makes out of you. Don't miss that. You'll be amazed at what God will make out of you. And you see this all through the Scriptures. I mean, you give God a young, humble shepherd boy, and God will make a king. You give God a young servant, Jewish girl, and God will make a queen. Hallelujah. You give God a cursing fisherman, and He'll make a preacher out of him. You give God an acorn, and He'll make a huge, majestic oak tree. You give God a crab apple, and He'll make a golden, delicious apple. Anybody with me? You give God a Saul, and God will make him a Paul. And if you'll give God your life today, He will make something amazing out of your life. You'll be more than you ever thought you could be. You say, well, Brother Cal, you don't know my story. My life's a mess. Welcome to the club. Hello? We don't need to be sitting up here high and mighty and looking down our noses at folks. We're all in the same boat. Every one of us. You know, the devil's so slick, isn't he? But he's a liar. If he's got his mouth open, he's lying to you. And you know, when he comes to tempt us to sin, he'll say things like, oh, you deserve this. Just try it, just one time. I mean, it'll be okay. It's all good. Just go ahead. You deserve to have a little fun. And then just as soon as you fall prey to that temptation, here's the next thing you'll hear from him. Oh, you've done it now. You have messed up big time. There's no going back. There is no hope for you now. I've come here today to tell you, you can get up and go home. You can get up and go home. You can go to the Father. If you go in that right, repentant spirit, He will receive you unto Himself. Aren't you thankful for our Heavenly Father today? He is a God of second chance. He's a God who can turn your ashes into triumph. He is a God that can do more than you ever dreamed of. He is an amazing. Give Him some praise today in the house. Hallelujah. And there's a final movement in this parable, in this dramatic scriptural piece of drama I call return. Okay? Now you remember, what did he say? He's sitting there in the pig pen staring at that hog, and he thinks, I'll just get up from here and go home. I'll go to my father's house. Well, that's what the boy does. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. Y'all, there's some wonderful words all throughout this passage, and it's repeated over and over again, and it's the word, but. That's a good word in the Bible. Whenever you see it. Shane, I'm going to preach on sometime the biggest butts in the Bible. And he and I have a personal joke in there. He probably doesn't quite get that, but I'll remind him later. So, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Oh, that's great repentance. And in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here. Amen, Bobby Smith. And kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The Bible says that when this young man was yet a far way off, the father saw him. You know, it blesses me. The father had been looking for his boy every day since he'd left. Every day. Have y'all ever seen a picture or maybe a painting of a man? And in that painting or that picture, that drawing, the eyes of that person just seemed to follow you wherever you went? Am I the only one? Y'all, this is a dialogue. This is not a monologue. Thank you. Well, that's the way God is. He sees us in our mess. He knows where we are. And by the way, He gets it. He understands. And did you see what happened? This son is a far way off coming down the road, and the father jumps up off the front porch. Now, I'm just using my sanctified imagination of this return, this reunion. And he heads down the path to the gate, flies through the gate. There's his son coming down the road in a pile of dust, stinking. Clothes look awful. And yet this father runs to him and embraces him. Can't stop crying, tears of joy. Hugs him, kisses him. And then the boy begins his speech of repentance. Oh, Father, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. And by the way, let me say this. In this setting, in this Jewish setting, this boy had done a number on his father. He had disgraced his father, his family, and even the village that he was from. And the law said that in some cases this boy could be stoned. By the way, isn't that what Jesus did? The father's got the mindset, if anybody's going to take a stoning, it'll be me. Stone me. Jesus wrapped his arms around us and took our stoning. So he interrupts this boy, his son. He says, hey! He talks to his servant. He says, go get the robe and put it on him. And that's symbolic of righteousness and forgiveness. And then he says, go get that ring and put it on my boy's finger, which is symbolic of the father's favor that is now upon him. And he says, put some sandals on his feet, which speaks of fellowship and sonship. And he says, let's celebrate. Because my son, who was lost, has been found. And they're throwing a party. And can I just tell you, God loves you unconditionally, just like this father loved his son unconditionally. There isn't anything you can do to live up to it. There isn't anything you can do to deserve it. God just simply loves you. As Billy Graham used to say, God loves you. God loves you. And you, and you, and you, and you. Aren't you thankful God loves us? And I've come here today to tell you, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've done it with. God loves you and wants you to come home today. He's got more in store for you than you could ever dream of. And He'll take you where you are and make you into the kind of man or the kind of woman or young man or young woman that He wants you to be for His glory. And here's the deal. You can sit there in that chair today and just say, I can do this tomorrow. But delayed obedience is disobedience. God's calling some people home today. He's in control. And He knows what He wants. And whether you know it or not, you need our Heavenly Father in every way. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray today, right now, that we would be more concerned about what You think of us than what my neighbor thinks. Or what someone that's sitting beside me might say. Oh God, help us to sell out to You this morning. Some of us have strayed away. Some of us are in a mess and nobody else even knows it but You, Father. I remember when I was that lost son. I was spending my life in something that was just being wasted. Oh God, would You do a work here this morning that only You can do? There's a reason You brought so many people here on this cold, icy Sunday morning to hear this message. Not about a lost son, but about a gracious, compassionate, kind, and loving Heavenly Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed in here this morning, I just want to ask you, are you as close to the Lord as you've ever been in your life? Are you? Be truthful. If you are, glory to God. Hallelujah. It's because of His grace. But are you here this morning and you're farther away than you used to be? You're not as close to the Lord as you once were? Well, He brought you here to bring you back home. And I want to encourage you today to just say yes. And just ask God to make you into the kind of person He wants you to be. Just a moment, we're going to open up this altar one more time today. If you're making a decision to do just exactly what we've talked about, we're going to ask you to just come and pray. I'll help you any kind of way I can. If you need to be saved today, you need to do just like this lost son and repent of your sin. Just tell God and agree with God about your sin. Turn from it and receive Christ by faith. Oh yeah, there's some cards in the back. You can fill out a card and let us know of your decision. I'll get with you later. But I want to tell you, there is no time like right now to do what God's telling you to do. Father, give us the courage to just say yes. Some of us are farther away from You than we've ever been. And yet here we are. Some of us have slipped away a little bit from You, and You've allowed that to happen, and we realize we need to come back home. And then there are some here that are like they're just lost and need to be found. Oh God, would You give us the courage to do the right thing right now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.